good evening. Welcome along to the Monday Club. I can officially call it the Monday Club. It's the first one of the season. We're in, we're banging. You've seen the Periscope. You probably haven't seen it. If you haven't seen the Periscope, get on Periscope, look up the LFC Day Trippers. You're going to get a treat on there. I think there's almost a full podcast of stuff on Periscope, about 50 minutes worth, that covers half of this and also stuff that isn't on the podcast. Anyway, in tonight, we've got Jamie Holm, we've got Sean Lawson, we've got Ray Brady, we've got Stephen Daly, and we've got, of course, myself, Phil Casey. We're going to discuss the findings, the outcome of the Watford game, the 3-3 draw with Watford. Look forward to the Hoffenheim match, which obviously takes place today when you are listening to this, or it took place the other day, so you can see how accurate our predictions was. And then, of course, we finish off with Tripper Chats. It is the Monday Club. A lot of this is going to go live. And tomorrow, Steve-O is on with Dave Thompson on the STI as well, so get on that. And we also have a few other things going on. You know we're alive. The Trippers are well and truly big, as bottled as ever. The biggest independent podcast in Liverpooldom. Liverpooldom. Lucas Poole. Lucas, you left us, but we went big style after you left. Right, so get on with this. Here comes the cut that you never notice. But right, lads, good evening and welcome along to the LFC Day Trippers podcast this week. A draw at the weekend. The defence was a bit manky. There was a bit great attacking play in certain things. First half was a bit crappy. So, Jay, you were telling us loads there in the Periscope, but I'll start with Stephen. You were making a good point there around where we think we're going to end up. Looking at our defence, looking at the issues that went on Saturday, how do we start? How do we address it? What, for you, needs to be addressed in that defence coming out of the game?
Okay, so we've got three keepers this season. Okay, so Simon Mignolet has started the season as the goalkeeper. He ended the last one. Everybody said he'd improved. I think it was always likely, regardless of what really happened in pre-season, unless he had some absolute howlers, that he was going to start the season. That's what's happened. Whether he will stay there long-term or not, I don't know. We've signed a left-back in Andy Robertson. You can't expect him to come into the team. If he'd signed in the beginning
Robinson,
of June...
Why do we keep saying Robinson?
No, I said Robertson.
Jack Robinson.
No, you said Robinson. Then.
No, I said
Paul Robinson from Neighbours, you said.
No, I'll tell you why.
Same
because,
difference.
Because literally, nobody knows what he looks like. And we've put out pictures of Jack Robinson the whole summer. And not one person has picked us up.
They don't even know who he is.
They look at it and go,
but anyway,
there's Robinson.
I said Andy Robertson, and I'm going to say that again. So we signed him. He was never going to start the first game. Moreno's in there because Milner isn't fully fit either.
And so, he was saving him for tomorrow.
So, probably. Yeah, whatever it might be. But, you know, we were playing Watford. We should have won the game. We didn't win the game. It's not the end of the world. So you've got Matip and Lovren at centre half. I think we still... I don't know what's going on with my voice. I think we still will bring in another centre half. I think we will bring in another centre half. I think it probably will be Van Dijk. Just simply because I think... Everybody's talking about Chelsea going, who does he take out of the team? Well, he doesn't take the club captain out. He doesn't take David Luiz out. He doesn't take out Rudiger if they've just spent fucking 35 or 40 million. So why would he choose to go to Chelsea? You know what I mean? And I think it might just get to a game of fucking nerves. And it could go right to the very last day. But I think Liverpool...
Even then, fine. Again, another point on that. Chelsea looks like a rocky ship at the moment, doesn't it?
Listen, but the thing about...
Chelsea looks like a rocky ship
Sean, just before we start talking about other teams, because we've got our own match to talk about, and right. Like the pre-season's over, so let's concentrate on our team. But I want to say, and this is the review of the Watford game. Look at what's happened. Look at what's killing us, right? And look at where.
What's the camera gone?
What?
Press the button.
Stupid camera.
That Perry gone off?
No, it's back.
It's a 20 minute.
Perry just will give a black screen for 2 seconds. Watch the numbers drop. Oh, still 73.
They're hanging in there. They can
sorry
hear us.
That, sorry about that, folks. Cars had teething problems. We have to put mid Perry things in. Anyway, back to what
right
we're saying.
Back up. Right
look,
back
come
up.
On, come on back to the Watford game. And this is what I want to ask you, Sean, right? Look, we've given away three ridiculous goals, okay? We've scored three sublime goals. We should have scored another two or three goals as well, right? So I want to deal first with the defence because the core issue of what happened last year, right, in terms of we improved substantially. We had a 20% improvement on our defensive return season on season in Klopp's first full season, right? Yet there's a clear defined weakness in that team when it comes to set pieces.
Mm-hmm. We can't defend them.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Now, I would suggest that the way we're setting up is fine. But
zonal.
Yeah,
I think it's bollocks.
Okay, well, just
that's how we worked under Rafa.
There's been three managers since Rafa.
But then Zonal isn't bollocks. So
there's been three managers since Rafa. Zonal is great, you know, the setup. But Rafa was not half and half.
It was a hybrid of Carragher and another player being the dominant. I don't think the way we set up is the issue. I don't think the zonal is the issue. I think how players execute the zones and who he's put in the zones.
I think they're taking it too literal.
Is a core issue.
The zone thing. If it's a zone on marking, still one player should be taking responsibility. Because, like, the funny saying is, whose man is that?
You take responsibility for your zone.
So how many other clubs in the Premier League use the zonal system?
I'm not sure.
I guarantee the system works for other teams.
The top clubs.
It's not about the system, it's how the personnel are deployed in the system that's fucking us up. The personnel aren't up to scratch, or the system that's not executing it right.
That's the key. So, like, you looked at how the first goal happened the other day, right? And I think it was Lovren, Firmino, and Matip in a three.
Trent Alexander's just behind.
And he started beyond Lovren and he's come across, right? Now, the key there is, A, if you see somebody come into your zone and out of your zone, you then have to say to the guy on your right who he's moving into, he's coming, watch him, get him. Yeah. There's no one is speaking. That's the first problem. Then second of all, if the ball comes into your zone, you attack the ball as if you were up the other end, attacking, a header coming into the box. So then you look at Firmino, for example, who just stands and ball watches. Jay. So there's two elements, communication, and then in your zone, just attack the ball.
Yeah, okay. What can he do, right, in fairness to Firmino on that? I said it to Steve before the pod. Okaka is what, 6'3", 6'4".
I'll tell you what you can do.
It's silly, I understand what you're saying, but fucking, this has been the same.
I'll tell you what you can do. I'm saying zonal, and I haven't said anything. You said it's silly, and I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I haven't said that. All I said is, I'll tell you what I can do.
We're sick of the bollocks of, oh, zonal doesn't work, we're not using it right. But it's 18 months. If it's not working now, fucking change. Sean, do something different.
Sean, the same players that we have were there under Rodgers and went man for man, and they defended set pieces worse, right?
I don't give a bollocks about Rodgers before 18 months. This is the same players now. And Klopp at 90 minutes after conceding the 92nd minute from another set piece.
But you're being irrational now.
I'm not, but he's like...
You are being irrational.
This is your team. He was laughing and fucking smiling. Do you know what? I calmed down after the game. And my brother even turned around and said, you're watching the match. When you see the camera's going to pan to Klopp and he's going to be... This is your team. This is your setup.
Yeah, it wasn't funny, to be fair.
That's an ironic laughter.
Let me play devil's advocate. Could that be, how many times do I have to tell you fucking shower to do this? And you're doing it again, lads.
Can I make the point?
You're not allowed to talk tonight.
My point is, Firmino should be attacking. It's his own system. He needs to attack the ball with the same aggression as Okaku was going to attack the ball. Okay, if he goes to do it, Okaku doesn't get a free header and he doesn't score the goal.
All he has to do is step a yard away from goal, and he prevents Okaku from coming into that. How many times have we been saying this for the last two seasons? Sean, the next point is, why is Emery Can or Jordan Henderson not in that position, and Firmino on the edge of the box?
The bit that we were saying, I'm normally positive about it, but Sean, it's so frustrating. Just calm down a second, because when we start talking about Mignolet, if you think you're having a breakdown, you just wait and see what's going to happen.
And Mignolet's the same.
Hang on, because you're not getting the breakdown. Yeah,
you're not getting Mignolet.
No, you aren't. That fucking prick is mine. Fucking pancake choco booty head, the most useless goddamn piece of shit that's ever been between the posts, a shit Sander Vesterveld, that's all you fucking are, and I haven't even started in what's wrong with you now.
A shit Sander.
That must be the best hotel in
That's a great show.
She's just Sandra Vesta.
Wankers. Just play Fly Keeper.
Fly Keeper. Fly Keeper. Last man back. Last man back. I take last
just
man back.
Fly Keeper. Gloves on.
Play 11 strikers. Fucking put Solanke in goal.
Now, honestly, right, I will say though, I can't understand the frustration that I have as well, John, with that is Firmino is the one that's in the middle zone. It's one of the most important zones for attacking corners. That I agree with you. It should be Chan. Or else you take Matip out of the front part and you pull. When Rafa used to set up the zonal piece and the good one set up, one of the best headers of the ball is always the fella who attacks that front zone, right? So where that ball is coming into, the first and the third goals.
Well, you probably had it.
Right, you're just out of saying that, right? I couldn't. Who's a good header of the ball with us?
Does not want
to. I know there is.
You'd have Matip Chan, Henderson.
So his basis, he might be the same height. I wouldn't consider any. Listen, I think the system might be fine. You cannot instill the type of aggression that we're lacking. And that's all.
Why don't we just bagsy that the opposition
this viciousness to win the ball and they fucking upend our own mother to win the ball. And that's what we're lacking. It's the system might be perfect.
Did you see that game, Rocket League? Wijnaldum's
header. Wijnaldum's header.
That's what we're playing tomorrow night.
Did you see that game, Rocket League? And the ball can't go well play. So it's just like it's like walls. And the ball just bounces around. We'd slaughter everyone.
I just want to go back to
it's like giving away a fucking penalty.
But Jay.
His head's still gone.
Seriously, Jay. It fucking wrecks me here.
You were going to make the point, and I think I was making the same point as well. When it comes to that attacking that force ball.
Well, you as a keeper would have always said, I'm assuming, it's kind of on the 6-yard box, that zone on the 6-yard box in front of you. And any ball that comes in low, sort of low into the box, that guy, all he does is block that. It doesn't matter if it hits his shin, head, arm, whatever, right? As a keeper, that's your safety blanket, right? You block anything that comes in there. How many times do you see balls come into our box where our first man in that zone don't even make contact with the ball?
No, and this is
fucking crazy.
If you think the two of those goals that were scored were near post.
Yeah.
Both of them were near
it
post.
Shouldn't even that get should to never that happen. Point. It's fucking criminal.
I'll go back to the worst times when we had Hodgson in charge. We had our best header attacking that zone, right?
Yeah.
Steven Gerrard used to spend his time under Rafa attacking that zone. We used to have Torres.
Yeah.
Torres would come back
Chelsea,
from corners and attack
Chelsea
that zone.
Drogba.
Yeah. We used Andy Carroll when that's what he was best at. The only thing he was good at for Liverpool was clearing that area where he'd play.
See, because if you do have somebody that's good in that area, right, what an attacking team are trying to do, they're trying to get whip on the ball. Because if you get whip on the ball, then it only needs
you
a slight nick and it's a goal.
Yeah,
but with whip, you're not going to put it high. Because if you put it high, then the keeper, if he's worth his salt, will come and claim it. So really, if you put someone in that zone, the whip is going to come right to them or in and around so they can get something on the ball. Yep. But rather than put our head where it hurts, we'll turn our back or turn to the side and then everyone just goes, oh shit, I wasn't expecting that to come through.
This might sound, sorry, just a brief one, but it was annoying the bollocks out of me. It sort of showed the attitude of our defenders. This fist pumping, absolute shit.
This is what it's
me, and drink to any other team, something that they should be doing anyway, and here they are as though they've done some good thing. They don't fuck all, lads. You've done nothing. You put your leg in. But it wasn't even a brilliant last ditch tackle or you fucking upended them or you put your ball on the line. Yeah. It was nothing. It's absolute bullshit.
On Saturday afternoon, you know, I mean? Was watching the Chelsea game, right? After our match. And I think it was Louise and Kane. And no, it was Louise and Courtois. Courtois was going to come, didn't come. Louise had to bail him out. It was just a little bit of mix-up. Now, I saw in the same game a couple of mix-ups between our centre-halves and Mignolet, and it was, don't worry about a fist pump, go on out there, a little pat of the head.
What did Louise do?
Absolutely. And you could see Courtois going, Jesus, like you could see it in his face going, Jesus Christ, relax. He was fucking slaughtering him. Like, I mean, milling him for it. Absolutely.
And that's the aggression you fucking need.
Do you know what you're saying? Who's the other team that shit defending that does that? I'll tell you who the other team is. Arsenal.
Yeah,
Arsenal go around fist pumping. Even when they make mistakes, they're saying, well done, well done. Yeah. No, I know when the best teams I play for, the best teams you play for, we've said it ourselves when we're in here, the best teams we play for, you eat the face off fellas who are making mistakes
later. Yeah. Because the person who's made the mistake understands they've made the mistake and they deserve to have
the ball. I had near punch-ups on the pitch with my defenders over who we thought was at fault for mistakes.
Yeah. We would have probably 10, 15 minutes before the game where we would go round, ideally in a football team, and you want the players. We had S Club 7 on the tunes fucking pumping. We would go round. Ideally, once the manager's done his tactics, you don't really need him to go round and govern the dressing room. You've got a couple of leaders that will go round, and what we'd do for 10 minutes is make sure that every single person in that dressing room was addressed publicly and they knew their jobs. So that the reason that was is if we come in at half time and one of them hasn't done their job, we say, you're letting us down. Mm. You are letting us down because we're all doing our job. Yeah. Do you think that happens at Liverpool? Because I don't.
The easier way to put it is, there's one other thing you can say is like Henderson about being a leader and all, whatever, we can go onto that another time. There's not one leader in the defence. There's not one of them who's saying, no matter what, like 93rd minute there, right?
Yep.
And forget about systems for a minute. Sometimes you just need to forget about systems. And you're Matip and you're 6'2". Listen, I'm fucking attacking this ball and I'm going to go through whatever. Even Mignolet, coming over the back of the defender.
And I do want to talk about this, right?
Can we talk about Matip?
We will in a second. But I also want to get away from the negative. I want to look at the good things that
can we take that into the WhatsApp group as well?
I'm only hosting this. In the WhatsApp, I can be my old contrarian fucking self.
WhatsApp
crave
Jesus
to be.
Jesus Christ.
I want to say, right, and I'm a goalkeeper and I've been hypercritical in Mignolet towards the back end of the season, and I got people saying to me, oh, you have to let up, he's turned it around, and I said, and I've got tweets out there and you can go search my timeline because it's there, right?
I said
come back to me next Christmas if he'll be dropped by then. Every season since he's come to this club he's been shit from September to December, dropped, comes back in February and becomes halfway average to the end of the season, and all of a sudden people are saying, well, he's done enough now, he deserves to be number one next season. I said it last year when he was doing well, he did not deserve to be number one. He does not deserve to be number one. He is not good enough. People are saying about Matip and Firmino, Lovren for a start should block off the run of Okaku. He shouldn't get an easy run. Even just to slow him down so he can't...
John Terry used to be excellent at that. Chelsea used to be excellent at that.
And I just want to go through it, right? Firmino, though, doesn't attack his zone, so he's primarily at fault for not attacking his zone. However, that ball is headed 4 yards out from goal between the near post and the middle of the goal, Our goalkeeper starts
on the line
3 yards from his front post, right? A Watford player wanders in. He doesn't look to engage Mignolet. He only wanders in to block off his eye line on it, right? Mignolet takes 2 steps back.
No, right? Mignolet goes and engages with him
and
first.
And then takes two steps back.
Yeah, rather than actually either pushing him the fuck out of there, he starts getting into a tussle and then realises, I shouldn't be
here. It's a tussle he created.
It's not like the centre-forward came in and walked in on... Because as a centre-forward, you were taught, get in on top of the... Always, every single fucking corner, I was in on top of the keeper.
And then...
Just little nudges, just throw him off.
And then what happens? He takes 2 steps back... On a near post corner. I'm telling you now, right? And
so as a goalkeeper, where should he be?
I trained at this and we coached this, right? And I'm not the tallest goalkeeper. I had to make up for the fact that I'm not 6'2" or 6'2" or whatever it is. Yeah, no. What we did was you used to stand 2 yards closer to your front post, right? And you take a step backwards as the player struck the ball, because that gave you a time to read where the ball was coming to. And if it was going back post, you had enough time to readjust and attack it in a different...
So where are you saying then? He should be a yard out from your line at your front post.
He's 6'2", right? He doesn't need to adjust himself to make it back. He can easily get across his goal, right? Mm. He should never give up his ground to the opposition forward. If that forward blocks him off, he's going to get a free out by just jumping against
him.
Right? He allows himself to be dominated time after time time. We've all said he's improved on crosses. He's improved on deep crosses to the back post. He has not improved on near post crosses. And I'll tell you again, I criticised him like fuck when we played Crystal Palace last year for the Benteke, 2 of the Benteke goals. Both of them came near post, both the same areas, both inside the 6 yard box.
And that first man at the front post, again, it came fucking tricking through.
Comes through
exactly the same.
And he's nowhere. I tell you what.
I think it was Firmino.
Because he's hiding. And he always hides when it comes to a physical
battle.
Let
him have his moment here.
He is hiding. And I'm blue in my face. Whatever. And I'm not... The problem is, Karius hasn't stepped up to the mark when we signed him, right? And I would, at this stage, and I said it 2 years ago when we put Ward in, why not throw him in? Why not? He did nothing wrong in the pre-season game that he played. He was excellent for Huddersfield.
One of the best saves I think I've ever seen in the Bayern game.
He was excellent on loan to Huddersfield.
Was it the Bayern game?
I would rather see... I want to see now Karius Award be given the same confidence and just said, 20 games, lads, I don't care what you do. Get in there, unless you are having an absolute clusterfuck.
So let me flip it on Karius then, because you watch a lot of German football, right? He stays on his line, is that right? So what would be the big difference? I know, sort of, you know, on the ball, he moves the ball a lot quicker, and I think the way that we want to play, that side of things, he helps massively. But are we not then going to still face the same problems in defending set pieces if he's going to be rooted to his line?
Listen, Jay, that's why I'm saying to you what I've just said a second ago. Throw Ward in and give him his go. Yeah. He's the same age as Karius. Now, the whole thing is that Ward is young and stuff like that. Karius is very young as well. What Arsene Wenger did with Jens Lehmann when he went to Arsenal was he told Jens Lehmann, I want you to come for everything. Anything that inside the posts of your six-yard box, I want you to come for everything.
And take everyone with you.
I don't care if you drop one, drop two, drop three, get a bad punch here. If something goes in over you, we'll deal with that because I know you've come for it. Our defence knows you're going to come for everything.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Lehmann adapted his game because when Lehmann was AC Milan, he stayed very much rooted to his line and didn't come off it, right? But he just said, right, to hell with this, and he came for everything. If you remember when Lehmann started doing that, right? He made a few mistakes and people were in the English press were having a right go at him saying, oh, this is a fella's a clown, flappy, he's coming for everything, and he's flappy and all this.
Probably De Gea as well to a degree. Yeah. The same thing with De Gea first season.
And Reina. People forget about this. Reina came in first, he was flapping at loads. But the one thing Rafa said to him was, don't worry about making mistakes about coming for it. I want you to come for it.
Yeah.
I want you to come for 15 yards.
So what does that do? That immediately instills
removes uncertainty.
It immediately instills confidence in the goalkeeper that he's not going to be castigated by the manager for coming for it and possibly making a mistake. It immediately instills confidence in the back four because they know their keeper's coming out in that 6-yard box. And you know what? If you know the ball's coming to the edge of the 6-yard box from a fucking left-hand side corner and your keeper's coming for it, so you drop maybe half a yard.
Yep.
In case he misses and somebody gets a head on it, that you're in a position...
Lads, the thing that annoyed me most on Saturday was, and I was looking at it and I was in the pool watching and everyone was just like, my God. Watford had a corner, the ball was whipped in, Mignolet catches it, right? On the edge of his box. Watford have 8 annoying players in our half, we're ready to break. And he rolls the ball.
Mm. Yep.
To their centre half, who was facing his own goal, right? We win the ball out, bang, goes out for a throw-in. And he starts balling the full back out.
Yeah.
I'm saying, are you for fucking real? Seriously. What the fuck?
I know, listen, we've had a comment in here saying he was coming for everything at the end of last season. I'll say it to you again, lads. He wasn't coming for those balls. We conceded the exact same goals in the run-in.
Mm.
In the run-in.
We're talking specifically on set pieces in that front area.
In that zone where goalkeepers must dominate. I used to get bollocked if fella's got a header at the near post within 4 yards of the goal line coming in off a corner like that, because that's my area.
The thing is, you can lead with your fists. You've got an extra 2, 3, 4
on anybody. You can literally be on the line.
I'll tell you, I'd love to go to him and say, Simon, why don't you, if your man is in your way, what you do is you throw an elbow into the back of his neck.
Yeah.
Because he'll fall.
That leads us nicely onto something else, is that we're a team of fannies. And we've been a team of fannies for far too long. I tweeted something from the account last night where I just want us to go out and buy 2 ready-made horrible bastards. But this then feeds into FSG don't like to do that because then there's not resale value, blah, 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 blah. This is the narrative they've told us. But do you not think that this team, if we went and bought a horrible, experienced centre-back and a horrible, experienced centre-midfielder, our performance or ability to see out results, grind out results, scoring goals and all the flair is never going to be a problem to us. We're so easily bullied and we drop stupid points in stupid ways. You buy 2 players and plug that gap.
Vidal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We don't make
those
mistakes.
31?
Well, that's one of the players we were rumoured that we may be looking to sign.
Yeah, like, it's rumoured because somebody's decided to make it up. I don't believe for a second we're ever going to sign. Jay has run off to sign Vidal.
Yeah.
Jay has got upset.
Vidal to sign.
Jay, if you could also pick up Neuer when you're there as well, that would be very handy.
most appreciated.
Well, I think we asked in the WhatsApp group a while ago who was our nasty thing, and the best we could come up with was Emre Can because he likes to sort of use the show.
No,
as
he,
person as well. But he's nowhere near the level of Nasty that any of us
are. Let's part the defence, because I want to come on to the attack, because I want to then lead. I want that to use that to lead us into Hoffenheim, because it's an interesting. I could have used the defence because Hoffenheim have scored the most set piece goals in the Bundesliga over the last two seasons, and they've continued on scoring set piece goals from the start of the season. It's a bit depressing, so let's not start there. But I want to talk about.
Let's come back to that.
And I want to close out the review of the match, and that's where we're going to finish the Periscope. But I just want to talk about our attack, because the first half it wasn't really clicking, but we still managed to score. And then the second half we really kicked into gear. I think what we've seen, we were talking about the Mane goal.
Yeah,
the build up to the Mane goal is just
magic.
Delicious.
It's beautiful. It's delicious. Yeah, it's I have to give. Everybody involved in it deserves some credit. The little touch from Emre Can back into us. But Mane is the it's not just a good run by Mane. Mane is involved in five or six different passes that he gives to somebody, gets it back, gives it to someone else. Yeah, his little step over and bends
his movements continued it. You know what I mean? It gave someone the impetus. Right, this is where it's going. They were following him,
Absolutely.
Just causes chaos, doesn't he, man?
The finish.
Just opens his body up and strokes him to pop in.
You just knew he was scoring it, but you can see the worry now on defenders with him and Salah.
Salah could have a hat trick there.
His
finishing was actually really poor.
We can't expect him to be a Pippo Inzaghi type finisher.
But you know what I love?
But it's the difference is he'll get five chances a game and probably score two.
Andy Cole.
Do you know who he reminded me of? Suarez in his debut season.
You knew something magical was going to happen.
And if it clicked, it's going to be 40 goals a season.
The biggest takeaway from Salah's performance on the weekend was it wasn't happening for him. But he never gave up.
Never stopped trying.
He didn't go hiding. He was dropping in and still getting the ball.
Right.
That was great to see. And for a player coming in, he's still young. In his debut season, after a big move, like it could easily for him to go.
Did they switch at all? Mane and him switch? Because it's something that's another super option for us to have. If they come up against a fullback, a couple of times Firmino drifted out wide, and they can't switch around.
Imagine if you'd mark one of them for 45 minutes, then they swap.
And then you're saying,
like,
had that come to me pocket next well. Oh, for fuck's sake.
As good as the two boys were, I thought Firmino was excellent in the second half.
Yeah, I
do want to talk about the positives, right? Outside of giving away that stupid goal at the end of the game, right? Our second half performance was actually excellent, right? The key issues that I'd have, and we can take it, we can discuss around Klopp's choices going into the Hoffenheim game. His substitutions were terrible, right? They really killed us, right? Before. But if you look at before that, Emre Can steps up his game massively in the second half. The touch. Do you remember his touch off the kick-out point?
Oh
my God.
And then it was the touch, but then to still have the power to get away from the fella.
It was the touch to the knee, wasn't it?
The best was your man trying to take him down and he just, run through you. Eventually he gets a free kick. From it, like
as 80 yards from his goal.
We did need something.
He's mad though, Emery. He's got all the tools to be an absolute powerhouse. But They're both so hit and miss sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
There's no middle of the road really.
No, and that's the frustrating thing. That
they're either 4 out of 10 or 8.
Yeah, on paper, they should be able to play together and be quite formidable in there, because they're both big, strong lads. They both complement each other in some ways, in that Henderson's passing range is probably better than Emre's, the long and the short, moves the ball a little bit quicker. But Emre likes to impose himself more on the game. He's more powerful, domineering. So really,
it should be a good thing. Both of them have been moved around from
you're the box to box, you're the six.
There's no clarity there between the two.
Back there at one stage and a three at the back. So there's a little bit of maybe, I know they shouldn't, but finding their feet.
Well, you'll see it, Ray. They'll both go to do the same thing. You'll see Henderson will drop off and like you said there, split the centre backs. But Emery wants to do that as well. So then are they taking turns? It's a weird one.
But I think that's what he wants them to do, because if you look at how we did it through pre-season, even when Wijnaldum came into the team and was playing,
he was dropping in,
Chan was moving up, and you got Henderson, and he has this idea of a rotating six.
I'm pretty sure he wants all three of them to be able to do each other's job.
Again, when people keep saying about we need an aggressive defensive monster like Mascherano or something, I said it last year and I'm going to say it again, and we all said it on this as well, that's not the type of midfielder he's going out to buy. And I don't know about this earlier on.
But
I
think Vidal could be, because Vidal is a nasty fucker that can do all the work.
I get you, but he's not your Mascherano. He's not your...
He's not your destroyer.
He's more than that.
If you look at Chan and Henderson in those big games, they do that job. Oh, and then in the teams against the lesser sides, you don't need a player like that. Necessarily, you know what I mean? So
okay,
it's either or.
Yeah.
Firmino's performance stepped up, and it was probably the best performance I've seen him in the
all of preseason.
Yeah, he looked like a
20-minute period, I think. I don't think he was great in the first half. Second half, 20-minute period.
First half, he was frustrating me.
And the ball was stuck to him.
When he scored that, when he gets the penalty, his performance comes up a massive level. Like, he creates then the Salah goal as well, and it's a lovely little flick, but it was
just think he meant it.
He wasn't trying to score. I've more of an issue with him.
If he
wasn't trying to score,
exactly. What sort of fucking number nine to go through one on one with the keeper? Wouldn't try to score.
I'll just think this over to your man that's in a 60-40 with the defender.
It was a shot.
I just want to, Jay. I know we can talk about Matip in the preview of the Hoffenheim game because he starts. But one shout out, Trent Alexander-Arnold, right? That again, showing his maturity and his class that's there, should never have been taken off. His substitution is baffling. I could understand if you want to bring Gomez on as a third centre back and kept him on the pitch, because he had that wing sewn up at that point. And the goal, unfortunately, comes from Gomez missing the first header, giving away a free kick, and then it leads to the corner kick, which leads to the goal.
I tweeted it at the time. I don't understand. I was trying to think, okay, does he want extra height on?
You take a midfielder off and do that. You take a forward off to do that. You don't mess up with someone who's actually had a really good game and then take him off.
You're coming off the bench, you're stale. I hate coming off the bench.
It's horrible. 89th minute
at the depths of the game where it's fine lines, fine margins, your timing's off.
You can see Gomez
come running in, steaming in like a fucking elephant, because he's not match ready.
He's not sharp.
No, so he's give away a stupid foul, then he's not got his timing right. So he's gone for the header, he's missed it. And I'm just thinking, if Trent was on that pitch, Trent was coasting through the game at that point. He wouldn't have dived in and made a silly foul. He would have made a better job of trying to win that header, and we probably wouldn't have conceded the goal.
Let's call something out here, and I don't know whether Phil wants to do it now or whenever, but on the whole, Jurgen Klopp's subs aren't great.
He seems reluctant to make them.
Maybe somebody will say to me, oh, you know, in such and such a game it did happen, or you're wrong. But I don't ever really remember thinking that was a really good substitution.
Thanks, Sean, you just proved me.
No, but I'm saying, I think that was enforced, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think, Stephen, the thing about it is, I don't think Klopp is a good defensive-minded manager.
Definitely.
And I think when he's forced to make attack-minded substitutions where you need to get back into the game, they make a lot more impact than his defense-minded one. So he wanted to see out the game.
That's why we took 18 points from behind last season.
Yeah. Whereas we wanted to see out that game at the weekend, but I don't think he fully gets the idea of how to see. Listen, I'm sure people say, what do you mean, Jurgen Klopp? But at the same time,
maybe you could send that to me in a text. I didn't get what you were saying.
Or Edwards
back with his cards.
But no, I just think that when you look at the subs, the defence-minded ones are seeing out games where we could always see what Rafa was doing.
Yeah.
You know, Even if he didn't agree with it, you could see exactly how he was knocking it down.
But Rafa would play to his strengths, and he was always a defensive-minded coach, whereas you've just said it there, Klopp, he only knows how to attack, I think. So then you've got to ask yourself the question, if we get ourselves to a position where we're 3-2 up and we were cutting them open for fun, then why are we bringing on Origi when I think he had about 4 touches of the ball? It was kind of like that decision had been made in his head before the game, that at a certain point it didn't impact the game at all. Yeah. I'd have gone and said, you know what, let's bring on pace and go, like, because
you know what, though,
so
Jay, in fairness,
slow to get
Phil
going.
Said that the substitutes always seem staged.
It happens with managers at all levels of the game.
Yeah.
They have in their mind before the game, they're looking at their bench. and they're thinking, I'm going to try and get him 25 minutes. I'm going to try and give him... Like, I think Joe Gomez was probably going to start against Hoffenheim at right back.
I just want to...
You think?
That's maybe why I think he brought him in, just to give him a few minutes.
Okay, so look, moving on to the Hoffenheim game, because it is... Champions League qualifier. Arguably, you know, we talked about the Middlesbrough
game being
the biggest game since whenever, right? And now this is even a bigger game, because lose this and we're into the Europa League, we may as well not have bothered ours finishing fourth last season. Mm-hmm. Win it, and we're going to win the Champions League trophy. 2005,
outright,
and the winning in the sixes, and all the wins will be great. But lads, you know, we have issues. Let's start with the Darrow part, and we can finish off on a positive note, right? As I said earlier on, Hoffenheim speciality to score goals is set pieces. They score nearly all their goals from set pieces. Yep. They just focus on scoring goals from set pieces. Isn't it lucky that we're so good at defending set pieces?
But this it would be very
possibly go wrong.
It would be very Liverpool like to go there and be fucking brilliant
and keep
a clean sheet. Mm. When we're expected to give away goals from set pieces, it wouldn't surprise me if we go there and win 2-0.
It'd surprise me.
And we're fucking dominant. And Miggs has the game of his life, and then all is forgotten then. That's the problem, is these players make mistakes, and then they'll have a couple of good games, and then we forget. But then it just reverts back to the same.
Well, listen, if it's not Miggs, it's someone else. I'm just going to, you know, every time now, from whatever goal you can go back to, you know that clip of the goalkeeper, wherever it is in South America, and he literally hooks the ball into his own net, just throws it straight into his own net. Yeah. That's literally us. And it can be guys in another way, but we literally fuck the ball into our own net.
We never concede. That's all we
that. Teams don't have to work hard to score against us. They don't have to do fuck all, just literally stand around. Just hang on here, lads. Well, I'm going for this, boss. No, just stand there. Watch it's going to come to us.
Imagine the manager's team talk. Do
fucking nothing. It's going to
don't attack.
Listen, they're literally going to get a big ball, tie it around the ball, and say, "There is our lads."
So it's when they're playing FIFA with your mate, and he's going for a piss, and he pauses it. So you just knock the ball up, triangle, drop it in the back of the own, and it comes back. What's the start? He's 1-0 to you. How did that happen? What happened there?
I'd love not to be like this, but you just.
But you just know, right? The half of my fella is sitting there going, Right, lads. Who's going to attack that near post? See who's standing there in the middle of the goal, and see a man standing there. Neither of them. If you can get the ball just over that force fella,
he might
he's looking at a 6'4".
He mightn't even have a
he's
football discussion. How about that Western Union under slave lads? just don't even talk about football.
He's just looking at 6'4" centre half, and he goes, every corner, go on Firmino. That's it. Yeah. That's it.
Not even go on Firmino. Start at the penalty spot.
Yeah, just
and see between Firmino and
the
your man Matip, right? Just see there. Just run there. Just
eventually, the gloves. Don't worry about him. He's not going.
He's not going to move. If we send the bloke to just wander around the goal, you don't even have to go and touch him, right? Whatever you do, don't touch him, because the ref will give a free out, right? Just wander sort of in front of him,
confuse him,
and he'll sort of stand and start waving his hands and stuff like this, and then and you just run there. And if we just get one ball in, you'll score. And if we get two in, we'll score.
But what sort of result do we need to sort of create a good atmosphere at Anfield, that European type atmosphere?
Personally, I think we come away 2-0 tomorrow night.
You think we'd win 2-0?
I think we win the game.
Lads, I looked and they didn't lose there all last year.
So what? They didn't come up against that front three.
I just think people underestimate how good our front three can be.
I think we overestimate how good our defence is. Yeah. I think the big problem we have, Jay, right? We're coming up... If this wasn't a team of set-piece specialists, right? Mm. I'd be more confident about being able to get a result over, right? I can't see us not conceding with the way we defend, especially against a team who specialise in set piece goals. I just cannot see it. Like, the only way I can see it is that if we do everything at our cost not to give corners away, and I mean madness, I mean whatever you do, if the ball is going for a corner or something, don't just break
volley
your
off
bollocks.
Mingele's face.
Anything.
Pick it up and kick.
You'd be better off giving an indirect free kick away around the edge of the 6 yard box than give away a free kick, give away a corner. Because they can't do a set piece that way. We just have to focus on not giving set pieces away.
The thoughts of it, though, you shouldn't be sitting there watching your fucking Liverpool Football Club with your arse going like this because of a corner kick. It's fucking terrible.
But if we're like that, you know the players are like that.
Yourself over a corner.
You know the players are like
that.
That's the thing, is it's a mental block now. Mm. I think that's why there's
it's
a
very hard to eradicate with the same personnel.
Yeah, that's the thing. And they're all looking around at each other.
Looking at the line, so look at Jürgen laughing and smiling again.
Here's Here's something. Here's something that Shay Given said on Goals on Sunday, and he said,
"Hey, Ernie."
Play the game here now. He said you're about pricks. That's what he said on Goals on Sunday. He said that Phil Casey was never a good, he wasn't even related to a goalkeeper.
he
was saying about how Stoke used the zonal system as well, but how they are like a fucking arrow along the 6 yard line. And if you look at our back, our defenders for that first goal, it's fucking zigzag. Right. There's no structure to it. They're not looking across and saying,
"Sure, he said they should be in a line."
They set up absolutely spot on in a dead straight line. Not from an offside point of view, obviously, but it's just them knowing that their positioning is right for the start of that corner.
This is the thing with it, right? There is like zonal.
He also backed up your point in the sense of how Mignolet gets involved with the striker and how he should be out clearing house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's saying he's trying not to slaughter another goalkeeper because to be fair to him, he said, "Listen, I've made enough fucking mistakes in my career." He was very honest about that. But
and he wasn't the most dominant when it came to
not necessarily, no.
I just, and it goes back to, see, you know, I think we were discussing and somebody was saying I might have been proud and being contrarian as ever, but I've been writing
it's
this.
Not like you, that mate.
I am happy.
He's about to make a point about what he said. Someone was saying this, and he's going to talk about what he actually said.
Yeah. Someone was saying it. Me.
He doesn't have a clue. He's a fucking schizophrenic. He's bipolar. This don't.
Some fella said to me.
You were on your own. You were on the jacks, man. Probably yourself.
One of the voices said. One of the many voices said, "Do you support Klopp?" And I was like, "No."
Is this happening in your head now?
This happened in reality.
Phil Casey in Split.
No. This is what's ridiculous. It's not about supporting Klopp. I support Liverpool Football Club. I want us to win the league title, right? I don't give a fuck who wins it for us. I don't care how we win it.
I'm not actually convinced of that, though, either.
For the podcast, better.
For the basis of this pod.
Yeah. Phil loves Liverpool. Yeah, go on.
No, but my point, what I'm trying to say is, it's not about supporting the manager. I'm not there in part of the team. I'm not in the ground for most of the games. When I'm at the ground, I'm going to support the team like fucking mad. But like when I'm at home watching television, I can say whatever I want. It's not going to affect what's happening on the pitch, right? And when somebody says, "Do you support Klopp?" Listen, if he's getting the decisions right, yeah. But if he's not getting the decisions right, no, I'm not supporting his wrong decision. I'm not going to sit there like, he's great and he's brilliant. No!
I seen an interesting question raised there the other day, and it kind of got me thinking a little bit, is have we drastically improved since Rodgers was in charge under Klopp?
Defensively, we've improved 20%.
Oh, we have improved, I think.
I'm not saying I don't agree, I'm just asking. It does get you thinking, though.
I understand what you're saying, but in Rodgers' second season, he finished second. And he nearly won the league.
In Klopp's,
it doesn't matter who he had.
Suarez was massive.
Doesn't matter who he had.
Yeah, but he also built a system to get the best out of Suarez as well. Because Suarez wasn't great before.
What happened then when Suarez left?
I know you don't want to go down that route, but it's an interesting question to ask.
I would say to you, and I'll say it again. Look, he has improved the team massively. He's improved by 20% defensively. They're the statistics behind it, right? But I don't think he's the manager that's going to improve.
But are they scoring less?
Yeah, they are.
So he's improved the defence but reduced the amount of goals.
Not over Rodgers' full time. If you remove that season with Suarez, right, remove that and base it on what's there, then it's
that was the anomaly.
I'm pretty sure there's a plane about to crash into this fucking building right
now. That's what I was just thinking.
Sounds like a jumbo jet on its way.
I'd say we're probably getting locked in, actually.
You're right.
We could be back on Periscope just to keep ourselves entertained.
It's 4 a.m. But we've got
Jay, to answer your question, I think we have improved massively under Klopp, right? I think that, though, he's still getting fundamental issues wrong. Big fundamental problems with that team are wrong, right? And he hasn't solved the answers. And if he thinks not signing anyone is acceptable, he's going to be in for a rude awakening.
Are you being the European aficionado, though? What way were his Dortmund team defensively? How good were they?
What we're seeing is what they were, but they had a deeper pool of defenders.
Talent.
And an excellent goalkeeper.
Voidenfeller was excellent, right? And his form was so good. There was controversy around being left out of the German team.
You get a better picture then. You can say, right, but whether it is the man or the management or the personnel.
To everything that was going on.
But that's what I said it to you, was it last week or the week before? the one grey area I have with Klopp is he's too loyal to his players.
What is that?
I don't know. It's weird. It's like we're in a horror movie or something.
Something's going to jump at us.
The ghost of Mingle. Slag me.
He's not even wrong. It's not the wrong. If he
who called me a shit, Sander Westerveld.
Ray.
You don't touch him once you're inside the six-yard box anyway. Yeah,
don't draw a six-yard box. You're safe as a house. Don't come near
you. It's like he's chained to the stanchion, isn't
it? Casper Mignolet.
Just stand in front of him. Come on, do me. Anyway, look, moving on. The positive part, obviously, is this hacking side. And we'd imagine Firmino, Salah and Mane start up front against Hoffenheim. Yeah. So I think the best thing in this game is to try outscore Hoffenheim. Although, I'll go back to your point, Sean. They don't concede many at home. They haven't lost many games at home under Nagelsmann.
They're about to.
So, but you saying that? Say, I haven't watched them obviously because I don't get time to fucking barely get time to watch Liverpool. But if they're a set piece specialist team, does that just say that they don't particularly go all out attack? If they were to, then you'd fancy us to score a shitload of goals.
What I mean about them is that
they're
very physical and they bully teams. They really physically impose.
So this is what we signed Salah for. This is a prime test. If that is as was Watford at the weekend, a team that necessarily doesn't want to, like we gave Watford goals.
Yeah,
I don't think they would have come out and attacked us. And actually, I'm being unfair to Watford. I'm stereotyping them there. When I think about it, in that first 20 minutes, they came out and they pressed us. They did. So I'm talking bollocks there. I'm going to retract that comment. But in terms of Hoffenheim, if they are a well resolute. Set, you know, defensively minded team that relies on set pieces and doesn't give away a lot of goals. That's exactly why we signed Salah. To have Salah, Mane and Firmino that can stretch a team like
Listen,
that.
They're going to come at us, right? They may allow us to have the ball and try hit us on the counter and bully us off the ball in centre midfield and try to exploit us as when we have the ball sort of in the middle toward as opposed to their final toward. Rob it there quickly and look to and not even necessarily make quick transitions that create a goal-scoring opportunity. If they win free kicks in and around the box by just getting it into the wings where our fullbacks tend to vacate, they'll be happy with that because that'll give them opportunities to score offset pieces. Yeah. And we need to limit those opportunities. So there's almost a bit that says, a bit like the way we went towards the end of last season, actually, instead of looking for the ball, maybe sit off for the first 20 minutes. Mm. Try soak up the pressure. Don't give away set pieces.
Against Dortmund. Bayern, sorry. Yeah,
don't give away silly chances. Don't give away set pieces. Don't give away corners unnecessarily. And just sort of let them own the ball for a bit and then break. Then take command of the midfield and just change the tempo in the game itself. Use that bit of new sort of game intelligence that we were shown in those games against Bayern Munich and even against Atletico Madrid where we came back into the game. They had all the ball initially and then we came back into that game as well and used the build. But I'd just be worried. We're going to rely an awful lot on our goalkeeper's quick distribution from our goalkeeper in that instance, especially in those first 20 minutes. Like it was Ward and Karius that played in those two games in Germany and the difference there was when they got the ball, they were able to launch.
Well, you kind of feel that Karius might play.
Yeah, I think he might.
I hope he does.
But didn't Klopp publicly came out and said that Mignolet was his number one? Do you know what I mean? So he'd be going against his word there if he started chopping and changing. Like, don't get me wrong, I think there's a lot of merit in having either of them in solely to move the ball quicker because I think our team really struggle with Mignolet's distribution. I think he just puts us on the back foot.
Without trying to waste time. He took that long to take a fucking...
Klopp gave Mignolet his blessing and his number one spot and then bought Karius not long after saying it. So I would take that with a pinch of salt. A little bit of that could be just trying to build confidence into it. I don't think he's...
Yeah, trying to build his confidence.
Exactly. I think surely at some stage you have to realise it's a lost cause.
Klopp thinks he's a football manager or a fucking counsellor at this stage.
Right. Jay, predictions?
2-1 to Liverpool.
Okay, Steve-o.
2-0.
To Liverpool?
Yeah.
Okay. 1-0. Mm-hmm. 1-0 to Hoffenheim.
Razor.
I'm just going 2-1 Hoffenheim.
Ooh.
I think we'll we'll have Anfield then.
You're thinking it's Liverpool and we never do it easy.
No, well, exactly. And my arse is going to need treatment.
The last time I was that worried about Champions League qualifier, it was against Lyon. And Andre Voronin scored an absolute cracker and we won 2-0 away from home.
Right? Now we are messing. Voronin never scored a cracker, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, we thought we saw...
Was that 06?
Yeah, we thought we saw in a really...
05, we just won it. We didn't get into the group stage.
No, I think it was the following year. as far as I know.
Was it? Trying to remember back now.
Yeah, but do you remember he scored an absolute belter because we played TNS in the opening round in Alfoyville.
When you think back, we had to play TNS
in June.
That was
in
the qualifier. Yeah. That was the qualifier to get in the Champions League. That's fucking crazy.
Right, lads. I think it's going to be probably a score draw tomorrow, and I think it could be a high score draw if he starts Mignolet
or something.
No, if he starts Mignolet, we don't concede one with Mignolet, by the way.
Imagine
we never concede.
I wouldn't put it past us. You know, that's the fucking.
The other thing is we never concede one with Mignolet. We never concede one with Mignolet. It's always two or more, right? It's either a clean sheet or two or more, right? That's the way it is. So I think it could be 2-2. If we can get two goals there, the away goal's coming back. Once we don't concede six, we should be all right to get a result.
Once we all lose 6-2, we have a good chance. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
But the time we get to the next game...
analysis there.
But the problem is we concede six corners. That's it. Conceding six goals.
Did you just call him a moonhead?
A moonhead, yeah.
Fucking moonhead.
We'd take a score draw, though.
No. Right, Triple Shots. Jay!
Yeah.
Jay, the man of the Twitter... Trippers chats. What the Trippers chats? We're gonna and come here.
Jay home, everybody.
We've done the football on the
10 days ago.
Don't be giving me more football. I'm just so sick.
I'd like
of
to point out one thing. Jay home 10 days ago. Phil, we need to be a little bit more organised. What we should do is have all the Trippers chats in one place, so that when we get to this point in the pod, that we just have to rely on them. Yeah. Jay, what's the Trippers chats? Hang on a second. I'll just scroll through Twitter.
Got them all saved in one spot. Look at all this. That's all the Trippers chats.
You
wanker.
There's at least three.
They were all off my mum then.
I got a few off your mum as well.
There he is. Oh, there he is.
Trippers chats.
Right, there's one here from Jay Reed who asks, now you're getting all Billy Big Times with your channel and partners. Who's
talking getting the biggest head?
Now we're getting our Billy Big Times.
For our channel.
With all our channels and our partners. Who's got the biggest head out of all of us?
Phil.
No question about it. He's a fucking egomaniac.
When I read the question, I did think of you straight away, to be fair.
I'm not an egomaniac. I'm a megalomaniac.
Tell everybody what you said when we made the logo at the top with the picture of a couple of the
lads. Where am I?
Yeah.
And then you said, I want to be in there with an Admiral's hat.
Yeah, I wanted an Admiral's hat.
He genuinely did say that.
Welcome to Ship Casey and all who sail on her.
And it's going down.
Friend of the show, Johnny Doyle, who we met, I think. Did we meet Johnny?
Or was that just Johnny?
Johnny, just Johnny.
Just Johnny.
Just Johnny, yeah. Johnny with the beard. He had a beard, no? Johnny asks,
Beardy John, I call
if the Trippers won the Euro Millions together, who'd be the first one to declare bankruptcy? And what's the first stupid thing you'd buy?
Now, is that the person who's going to be bankrupt?
Yeah. I'm shit with money, so I'd be right up the top there. Now, I'd blow it on absolutely ridiculous stuff.
Chocolate fire guards.
Ashtrays for me motorbikes. That type of shit. I'd blow it fairly quickly.
Underwater hairdryer. Yeah.
With no hair. Double whammy.
That'd be brilliant. I just want to get one. Yeah. Imagine.
So are we going Neil Green?
Yeah, I think Neil.
We've actually got people telling us that it would be Neil.
It would be Neil. I can only aspire to be. It's back when money is Neil.
Next up, the normal one who says, what do you think about Firmino playing in Coutinho's position and then we buy
Yeah, that's football. That's football, Jay. We
know. I asked him this earlier. It went, no.
Yeah,
I'll have to.
What do you mean by that, Steve?
He's too wasteful with the ball.
There's no football.
Right, so my ability to say this name isn't great, being a scouser. Diarmuid.
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 How do you say it?
I have a sex pee for you, Diarmuid.
How do you say it? Diarmuid.
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 Think of Diarmuid.
Pretend you're saying Diarmuid.
Say it again.
Diarmuid.
Diarmuid. Diarmuid. Diarmuid. Diarmuid.
What?
Diarmuiditis.
The animal is deer.
Diarmuid.
Med.
Diarmuid.
Diarmuid.
Like Bernard Diarmuid.
Diarmuid.
No, he's French.
Diarmuid.
Diarmuid. Diarmuid.
It's Irish for Diarmuid, yeah. Just say Diarmuid.
You pretend it's Diarmuid.
Come on!
M-U-D at the end instead.
Diarmuid.
Diarmuid.
There you go.
Diarmuid. Right, so we ask anyway.
So I'm not going to ask a question now there.
Or that's could be the Irish version. Diarmuid.
Caddies, are they real sportsmen or not?
Not.
Caddies?
Caddies.
Not.
That's just basically the water boy.
They're not. Apparently you have to be like a...
They know that shit.
They're enough level to play to be a caddy.
They're normally pro golfers, but they're just fucking advisors. Basically a golfer's agent.
They know that shit though.
Yeah. They know what club to use and
they're,
what
they're a golfing consultant.
Fucking Rory's caddy.
James, they're a golfing consultant.
And they're paid ridiculous money for it.
You hit the fucking shot.
We'll do a couple more from the Facebook page.
Yeah. Do some Facebooks and then let's get the fuck out of here. Actually, Mr. Daly, I have to show you how to do a few things, so let's get on.
Oh bollocks.
Okay, so
unless I could do it over the phone with you.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
In work.
Get paid for it. Yeah, okay.
Gizmo Gareth Lawson on the Facebook.
I wonder who that is. Gizmo FC. Not saying there's any relation sitting here around the table.
No, they don't. Shawnee FC. They don't share the same surname. FC.
FC, yeah.
Will,
no, that's CFB or something.
Will Kloop be our gaffer next year?
Did you not get the brief about no football questions? Well, you're just sitting there going, I have these all organised.
Well, have I ever got that?
Yeah,
speaking about Lucas, and I didn't want to listen to you.
Go on, ask the Lucas question.
He will be our manager this time next year.
Phil, Lucas won a cup this weekend. How much do you miss him?
I'll put it this way. If Liverpool won the Charity Shield, would that be called a cup? I don't fucking think so. So take a cup, stick it up your hole and fuck off.
Just want to say that, you know, I mentioned about setting the standards, and Lucas set the standards.
Sorry about this, Hakon Sundene. Phil, they're trying to build our listenership with the Facebook community, and he's just told you to stick it up your bollocks. So, apologies.
I'm
for
not
that.
Saying it's a coincidence, but since Lucas has gone, it's all gone to shit, you know that? He's not around to set the standards.
Hashtag standards.
Hashtag Lucas Pill.
Yeah.
And then the final one there from Brian Murphy. Unfortunately, it's a football one again.
Very cross the laver.
Who's worse, Henderson or Lovren?
What?
Who's worse at what?
Yeah, that
you pick.
A Scrabble.
I think they both get
it's
unfair treatment.
Damo's phone doesn't have Scrabble on it. It has Scrabble.
Come here.
Leonardo corrects to Scrabble. He fucking had
to. Yeah, he had to change it to Scrabble.
You can't change it to Scrabble.
You don't write Scrabble. It, naturally, when you try and write any variant of Scrabble, changes it to Scrabble, and yet he still managed to text
so like
Scrabble.
When you're mad and you're texting the board, it's like, duck you! Duck off!
That's what
you ducking bastard! Yeah.
Jamie Holmes, every single time you get an angry text off me, says, that ducking twat, that ducking. I'm like, come on, man, you're not eight. You're allowed course.
I'm ducking
that.
Out of here.
I just can't be asked correcting it.
The best bit when Jamie gets pissed off is, yeah, I'm just going out now. No, you're not, Jamie.
No,
it's 11 o'clock at night. You're not going out. Out now.
Yeah, I have to go out and walk the dog. You don't have a dog, Jay.
It was great. It was great when Jay, before Jay went on gardening leave, was like, I have a meeting now.
Yeah. Anyway, I have a meeting now.
No, but I do actually have to work sometimes.
Not you cunts. I'm not meeting you cunts.
I'd just like to say I wasn't the first to leave the WhatsApp group this year. That was Steve-O.
Me?
You left the WhatsApp group?
I could hardly say my own fucking name when I left. I was held my bin in fucking Munich. I couldn't fucking stand.
Right. Before
100%.
Before you incriminate yourself more than Neil Gray was on this podcast. Yeah, right, so that's the podcast this week. I'm doing the outro right at the end. This is very impressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this week's podcast was brought to you in association with...
Audi.
What?
Audi.
Audi Dublin. Send us all free Audis. We won the Euro Millions. Except
Audi.
Neil, who's bankrupt.
Forspun
duck technique. Steve wants an A7. Jamie wants a Q7.
I want an RA.
Sean wants an A1.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
An A1.
An
A1.
What if you're a fucking hairdresser?
A little A3 out in
the car. You do, yeah. You do, yeah. And the pod was also brought to you in connection with electricity.
No one can get anywhere without electricity.
Big thanks to the lads for coming in tonight. It was, of course, Jay Holm, the man who had all those tripper shots. Not ready and pretending. Boom. Away. Yeah.
Yep.
Nice little stand
job.
For your phone.
One fucking job.
Stephen Daly and his quiff. Thanks for coming in, Stephen.
No, you've
not seen him live on the thing. There was Shawnee FC. Shawnee FC and his fan club who always tune into Periscope. Thanks all for tuning into Periscope for Shawnee FC fan club. Ray Brady.
It's Andy. It's always Andy.
Yeah, it's always Andy. Everyone that's the thing is Andy. And of course myself, Phil Casey. We'll see you again next week on the Monday Club.
Are we still on the Periscope then?
We're not on the Periscope, but this is the recording bit, so we have the video if you want to do it. So we'll see us all on the Monday Club this time next week. Well, hopefully earlier than this time next week, because
next week I'm at home.
I'm in bed. I'm not. I'm actually, I have to go home and fucking edit this shit now. Anyway, so good night, God bless.